And we're going to finish this last couple paragraphs in order to not have to rearrange our perspective. Check it out, please. April 16 show, our show for next week, is already up. Check it out. Continuing with Proudhon. From time to time, ambition caused usurpers or supplanters of kings to start up. And in consequence, some were called kings by right or legitimate kinds, and others tyrants. But we must not let these names deceive us. There have been execrable kings and very tolerable tyrants. Royalty may always be good when it is the only possible form of government. Legitimate, it is never. Neither heredity, nor election, nor universal suffrage, nor the excellence of the sovereign, nor the consecration of religion and of time can make royalty legitimate. Whatever form it takes, monarchic, oligarchic, or democratic, royalty or the government of man by man is illegitimate and absurd. Man, in order to procure as speedily as possible the most thorough satisfaction of his wants, seeks rule. In the beginning, this rule is in him, living, visible, and tangible. It is his father, his master, his king. And I'm going to interject here, he and I are, in fact, as it turns out, on the same track with Popper, that same track with Popper and Prince, particularly now that I see that given the right psychological circumstances, to seek to be better than emerges as a want, a gap, or a deficit. Continuing with Proudhon, the more ignorant man is, the more obedient he is, and the more absolute in his confidence in his guide. But it being a law of man's nature to conform to rule, that is, to discover it by his powers of reflection and reason, man reasons upon the commands of his chiefs. Now, such reasoning as that is a protest against authority, a beginning of disobedience. At the moment that man inquires into the motives which govern the will of his sovereign, at that moment, man revolts. And I have to say, that blew my mind and revolts my stomach to discover that the great Proudhon has thought this question down to the ground, missing really only Alice's understanding of the inherently abusive practice of child rearing underclass, and presented it to us precisely to prevent the global installation of obedience that he's been there waiting for us to discuss for over 170 years. And power was yet again able to, for a time, keep this critical ancestor from us. The world we make for ourselves will support the development of our thought rather than undermine it structurally. And Proudhon speaks on this in our upcoming shows, which is already typed up. So please read what he has to say on this very question. The world we make for ourselves will support the development of our thought, will support the development of our thought rather than undermine it structurally. Continuing with Proudhon, if he obeys no longer because the king commands, but because the king demonstrates the wisdom of his commands, it may be said that henceforth he will recognize no authority and that he has become his own king. Unhappy he who shall dare to command him and shall offer as his authority only the vote of the majority. For sooner or later the minority will become the majority, and this imprudent despot will be overthrown and all his laws annihilated. And I comment here, when Proudhon says that sooner or later the minority will become the majority, he is elaborating, it seems to me, on his earlier line, which I found at first confusing, my needing a broader yet grasp of his definitions, I suspect, that it being a law of man's nature to conform to rule, that is, to discover it by his powers of reflection and reason. Was confusing until what he said at the beginning of the paragraph sinks in, that in the beginning, this rule is in him, living, visible, and tangible, i.e., we are born free. And that earth-given gift forever biases us toward it. We will return to it, needing but guidance and light to see the way. Once we see the way, we will not accept being clouded again. Never going back underwater. No, said Prince in Artificial Cage. The music of Prince stuns with its freshness that endured and endured beyond 35 years of being tortured with EMF. I use the number 35 because that dates it with his 1981 song, Sexuality, in which his resistance is so pronounced. Until we have his written testimony, if it exists, we can't know for certain when it started, but that he was being tortured throughout his adult life, no one now being hit doubts one bit. Our outro song dates from before Sexuality. It's his second CD, and his trademark precision of tone and timing and delicate phrasing are as polished here as in his last CD. That interviewer was right in one of the interviews we've posted to several pages, including the Rainbow Children page. That interviewer was right who said that Prince's music is timeless. Our outro song is from his 1979 CD, Prince, and titled With You. Thank you for listening and for your patience with me going over a bit. I love you. Stay strong. Until next week, peace.